Dr. Tomas Aguirre is the Dean of Students and Assistant Vice President in the Division of Student Access and Success at Texas A&M University Commerce. We'll meet him today on The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight, General Manager of KETR. And before we get started, a quick note about our spring pledge drive going on right now. This week, the members of this radio station are hoping to add 100 new names to their role. They feel that if we take just a little time to highlight some of the roles this station plays on the air here in Northeast Texas and online, that a few casual listeners may choose this time to begin their 88.9 KETR membership. And of course, the benefits abound. Make today your first day as a KETR member. Call 800-882-KETR right now or visit KETR.org and click donate to get started. And this is the President's Perspective. First, these headlines. Dr. Zach Sokoglu of the Computer Science Department has been awarded a U.S. Air Force Research Lab Summer Faculty Fellowship for the summer of 2016.
Yeah, this is very exciting. Dr. Sokoglu will be spending most of his summer at the Kirtland Air Force Base in Albuquerque, New Mexico, doing applied research on infrared pupil imagers.
So, oh, wow.
A fairly esoteric field of research, but quite an honor for him.
It's fantastic. And A&M Commerce elementary education student LaShana Anderson has been named a Nancy Larson Foundation Scholar.
Right. We're proud of all of our students, especially our high achievers. And LaShana has won this the Nancy Larson Foundation Scholar, which includes a $1,000 scholarship in recognition of her inspiring personal narrative. She has an excellent academic record and is quite active in the community as well, so very richly deserved.
Our movie reviewer, Alice Reese, has mentioned some interest in possibly slipping over to campus to see some things as part of the Spanish Film Club Festival. They offer a highly competitive grant to help universities bring Spanish and Latin American cinema to campuses for the sake of educating students about those cultures, and A&M Commerce has been awarded this grant. Spanish Film Club Festival has already begun. That was March 24th. There have been some dates where these movies are shown, they're presented, and students get an opportunity to learn. And they expect to air different movies each week with future dates. There's one today, April 6th, as well as April 14th and April 22nd.
Right. These stretch throughout the spring. The films that are coming to campus represent 15 different countries, Spanish-speaking countries. Everything has English subtitles, so you don't have to speak Spanish to enjoy this film festival. So please come out and partake.
And we didn't get a chance to do many headlines last month, and this one's kind of a major deal. A&M Commerce has been classified as Doctoral University Higher Research Activity R2 by the Carnegie Classification 2015 update. What does that mean?
Well, the Carnegie classification is probably the most well-known method of classifying research activity on university campuses nationwide. And, of course, R1 is the very highest. That's what they call highest research activity. And in our system, that is the flagship, Texas A&M in College Station. The next is higher research activity, which is R2. And A&M Commerce is the only university in the system to earn an R2 ranking. And we moved up a notch this year, so we're obviously very, very proud of all of the hard work of our faculty and our students who got us into this position. And it's quite an achievement. It's something that we all need to be very, very proud of.
Our guest today joined A&M Commerce just this semester, and as we noted before the program today, he's already woven himself so much into the fabric of the institution, I'd assumed he'd had a few semesters under his belt already.
That's correct. Our guest, as you mentioned, Dr. Tomas Aguirre. Dr. Aguirre, welcome to Texas A&M University Commerce, belatedly, and welcome to the President's Perspective here on KETR. It's a pleasure to have you. Tell us a little bit about where you came from.
Well, thank you for having me, and it does feel like home. It always it's a good sign of a transition when you've only been here for a few months, but it does feel sort of like a mini lifetime. But I'm originally from Texas. I grew up in El Paso. I attended the University of Texas at Austin. My wife is also a Texas ex, and while we've spent most of our professional careers in California, the plan was always to come back to Texas, and this was just a good opportunity for not only us, but our three children, and we're really happy to be here.
You mentioned your three children. How old are they?
I have a 13-year-old boy, a 7-year-old boy, and then a 4-year-old girl.
So things are busy at the Aguirre household.
They are. They're pretty busy transitioning in. They all do different things at this age. The eldest one is a swimmer. Middle one likes theater. The youngest one is a cheerleader. She'll fit right into this community, and we're having lots of fun.
Good, good. Well, what drew you to A&M Commerce? I know that you had other opportunities, and you chose to come to Commerce.
You know, so many things I found very appealing about this institution and this community. First and foremost, I love the students that it serves. Many of the students here are first generation, underrepresented students, but even those that are, you know, maybe from more rural communities, you know, they're really hungry and they're really looking for an opportunity. And for someone, you know, like me, who just came into this field to make a difference and have an impact on their lives, I think that there are plenty of opportunities to do that. I like the size of the institution. It's not too big. It's not too small. I love the location. You know, it has a rural feel to it, but it's still close enough to the Metroplex if you need to go buy some funky socks like I like to get at Nordstrom's Rack. Sorry for that shameless plug, but you know, I think the people here are really exceptional too. I mean, the staff, the faculty that I've met so far, really put students first. So it's a place that really allows you to bring out your best and bring your A game every day to work and really grow as a practitioner. So all in all, it's just, it really brings everything together for me, and I'm really happy.
I know that during the interview process, you mentioned that you felt like A&M Commerce was a place where you could make a difference.
Yes, sir.
As opposed to larger institutions where you sort of often end up, as a functionary, doing a lot of administrative roles, not interacting with students directly.
Right.
You have been at every student event that I've been at, and I haven't been at all of them. I suspect that you have. So, Jared, you're absolutely right. Dr. Aguirre has woven himself into the community very quickly. And being dean of students is not all a walk in the park either. That involves dealing with a lot of issues as they come up.
Yes.
And you have, well, no more than your share, but your share of those as well.
Okay.
And he certainly hasn't shied away from dealing with those in a very forthright and timely manner. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we all appreciate that as well. What do you see as the future for this institution, for you and your family here?
I think as far as the institution, and again, that's another thing that I really enjoy about being here. It's in a static sort of stage where it's growing quite quickly. And you mentioned this reclassification recently. I'm sure there's other things that, you know, new academic programs, the opportunity for growth in a lot of offices that exist within my area, like student housing or the rec center, mm-hmm. or the student center. So just different challenges, you know, every day of the week. And again, I think for someone like me, I'm a lifetime learner, and I just want to be someplace where, again, there are these constant opportunities to have an impact and make a difference, but also to be challenged in different ways and grow. So I think this institution, which I'm very familiar with back when I, again, was an undergraduate, I think will continue to sort of establish itself as a leader, not only within this part of the state, but nationally as well. You see our international student population continues to grow, and supposedly we're a household name in Hyderabad, India, where
That's
we bring
right.
a lot
yeah.
of our international students. So just an opportunity to bring some of the skill sets and experiences that I've had at a number of other different institutions and sort of put them into practice here, but at the same time continue to grow. And again, my family is at a point right now where I think they need a little bit more stability. I actually had to promise them a dog this time for this move. So I think the prices are, you know, the ante is only going to continue to grow. So I think we're going to try to stay here for as long as we can. And again, we're native Texans, so it definitely feels like home, and we feel very fortunate and blessed to be here.
I'm sure that one of the things that must appeal to you is the increasing diversity of our student body. This year, for the first time, A&M Commerce, by a very slim percentage, but still meaningful, became a majority-minority institution. And our Hispanic population is the fastest-growing segment of our student body. And I would think that that would add kind of a special dimension to the place for you.
Absolutely. I'm growing up in El Paso, Texas, which I think is the largest city in the United States where a majority of the population actually speaks Spanish, and having a large military base there, so a very strong international presence. And then again, working mostly in California, USC has the largest international student population in the world. Cal State Dominguez Hills has a profile that's very similar to an HBC. Yeah, diversity, I think, just enriches the day-to-day experience of not only our students, but our faculty and staff. So experiencing that diversity here on campus in terms of being an emerging HSI, and again, with our large international student population, you know, if I were ever to win the lottery, I would pay to do this job, because it really is it's a wonderful experience. As I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to worship at the local mosque on a Friday, and there's just always these different opportunities to expand that envelope and grow more as a person, and just it enriches my life, hopefully, as much as, you know, I have the opportunity to enrich others.
Right, right. Well, and I think that's the way all of us feel, being members of this university.
Absolutely.
Community. You mentioned worshiping at a local mosque. Our Muslim community is, I wouldn't say invisible, but I think it's larger than many of us realize. And that adds a special dimension. Not a native population, but I think we're fortunate here at A&M Commerce that the Muslim community has, in fact, formed a community and has reached out to the rest of the university in a very positive and constructive way. And I think that speaks to, again, the quality of our students, the welcome and inclusive nature of the institution, and the fact that we view diversity as a cause for celebration.
Absolutely.
Not just toleration.
Right.
Well, you must be very excited about the growing residence life population and the new residence hall on the way.
Absolutely. So my area, campus life student development, is about 12 to 13 offices if you include the dean of students position, which again is very distinct from the assistant vice president role. But there really isn't an area there, the health center, the counseling center, that isn't going to be impacted by this growth. So that's really what I've spent a lot of time with over the last 3 months, is really the plan was to develop a plan, and based on the data that we've collected so far, we're really looking at alignment. How do we align amongst ourselves? How do we align with the community? How do we align with the greater campus? Because I feel like if we're more aligned with each other, then we're more prepared to address some of the growth that's happening, and then we'll be able to better support our student success.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the research, I think, is pretty conclusive that students who are engaged, who live on campus, who have those connections here physically, who are on campus more than not, are more successful. They finish their degrees more quickly. They have fewer wasted hours. So your job is not just join hands and sing kumbaya part of the institution. The support role you play is much more than a support role. It links directly to the academic mission of the university.
It's a partnership.
It's a partnership. Mm-hmm. That's right. In terms of timing, you arrived at a fortunate point in the evolution of the university. We have a new athletic director who came approximately the same time you did, a few months later. And he was fortunate to be riding the crest of a wave, and I think the wave is cresting even higher now. Mm-hmm. In terms of athletic excellence. How do you see the partnership between student affairs, student life, and intercollegiate athletics?
I think it's critical, but at the same time, I think at many of the institutions that I'd worked at in the past, places like USC or University of Texas, athletic departments quite often feel like these separate entities, these ivory towers. You know, it's not uncommon to see the football coach actually make more money than the president, which, I don't know, I think is a little unfortunate. But here it's very different. And I think partially because I'm involved with the Commerce Leadership Institute, I've had many opportunities to connect with Tim, and we work very closely together. We've had a number of meetings outside of CLI to connect my staff is connected with his staff. We're really working together on branding, on marketing opportunities, on getting students into the seat, because very similar to my area, which again is a partnership with the academic side, I think athletics does that as well too. And we also know that many student athletes do very well academically. They for the most part are model students, and they represent the university very, very well. And also it's another opportunity for us to improve those town and gown relationships and to continue those strong relationships with our alum as well. So I think the mission of athletics is critical to the mission of the university, and I feel very fortunate that I've been able to build these relationships with Tim and his staff and really, again, be another partnership. And I think that's another thing that I really love about this institution is that everybody, for the most part, really works well together.
Mm-hmm. And it's in so many institutions, even the ones that have winning athletic programs, you have to spend a lot of time apologizing for your student-athlete's behavior. You know, I'll be the first to admit that not all of our student-athletes are angels, but most of them are. And most of them not only perform very well on the field, court, on the course, they perform well in class, and they're leaders here on campus. Mm-hmm. So I think the kind of relationship and engagement that we enjoy here between your area and athletics is unique and synergistic. It moves the entire institution forward in a very positive way. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here in a very short time. We mentioned the new residence hall coming online. Besides the new building, what do you have on the horizon in terms of programming, in terms of activities, or just other ideas you'd like to share?
Sure. One thing that we're in the process of doing right now is hiring what we call a student caseworker. Quite often when students are in what we would call a crisis mode, while all of the necessary resources are available to those students on campus, quite often the student feels like it's being passed on from one person to the next. And every now and then the student falls into one of those gaps. So by hiring a caseworker, we can take the caseworker, and that caseworker can work exclusively with the student from start to finish. So that could be a student that is homeless, that could be a student that is a victim or a survivor of sexual violence. But I think it really will sort of up the care on our side of the table and really better support the students that unfortunately go through processes like this every now and then. We're also just, again, trying to do better in terms of addressing the growth. So looking at our numbers, looking at the quality of the service that we provide, and really trying to address create some 10-year plans so we're being more proactive and less reactive, and we don't have to get to a point where we don't have enough programming space, say, in the student center, or we don't have enough doctors or nurses over at the health center to support our students, or in the counseling center. So really just trying to be a little bit more strategic, and again, work very closely with your office and other offices here on campus, so we're sort of ahead of the curve.
Right. Well, you mentioned counseling and student caseworker, and of course, our students lead such complicated lives and such conflicted lives. And I know sometimes people of a more traditional background think, you know, why are we coddling them? Well, mm-hmm. We're not coddling them. We are giving them the tools they need to be successful. So the work that goes on in your area is vital.
And I see it, too, as a fantastic parallel to something that happened a few years ago in the installation of the walking mall, where, if you'll recall, we built this fantastic and beautiful mall, but there was one section over near the arts building where students sort of left the mall and walked through the grass, and the institution
right.
went out of its way to go and install a sidewalk there, because it became very clear that though we've got something really fantastic going, sometimes the way that the students go, we've got to be a little bit reactionary to that and sort of accommodate the way that the students are going to go. And I kind of
right.
see that as a parallel to so many of these other things that we're doing. The way that the students go, that's the way that we need to go.
Exactly.
Dr. Aguirre, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Jones, pleasure as always.
The pleasure is mine, Jared.
The President's Perspective is recorded at KETR's studios in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce and is archived online at ketr.org. While you're there, go ahead and count yourself among KETR's new members during our spring pledge drive.
When you click the donate button on the top right, members are a vital part of this station's success, and your contribution matters. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.